Rita was actually born in South Africa, and she was trained as a registered nurse. And then later she came to the United States. And came to the Dallas Temple, developed a relationship with the main deities, Sri Sri Radha Kalachanji, became their servant, heard from His Holiness Tamalkrishna Goswami, became his disciple, and took up the process of devotional service. Much could be said about her and His Grace Sarvabhauma Das has written a book about her, which is on the altar. Servant of Love, the Saintly Life of Kirtida Devi. Many devotees have been profoundly influenced by reading the book, reading about her. I spoke a little about her yesterday. Her preparations for leaving her body became the focal point of the whole community. The whole Dallas community of devotees was united and would gather around her, mainly for kirtan. It was almost constant kirtan. And I think we've also had a little glimpse of that experience of coming together, all united, to chant the holy names. But with Mother Kirtida, there was the added element of her impending departure, which itself, that particular time of life when one is preparing for death, that itself creates a sacred space, And the experience of one's spiritual practices are intensified. One question that came to my mind, which I asked Keshava Bharati Maharaj, who, as I mentioned, was staying with me in Santa Barbara when she left. I asked him what it was that brought her to such an exalted position in devotional service. Of course, in retrospect, we could appreciate her devotional qualities that were there from the beginning. But ostensibly, she didn't seem so extraordinary compared to other devotees. So I asked him what it was about her that brought her to such a position. And his answer was selfless service. She gave herself fully to the service of others, first and foremost, her spiritual master, Tamalakrishna Goswami, but her beloved deities, Sri Sri Radhakala Chandra, and all the Vaishnavas. And not only devotees in ISKCON, but she was a very caring person. And when she would go to Vrindavan, she was particularly attached to the deity of Lalita Devi, well, Radharani and Krishna, Lalita Devi, Uchagam. And she would regularly have new outfits made for the deities, and she would distribute prasad, and she would even distribute medicine and other requirements for the local people, for the Vrijavasis, for the local devotees. She's a very loving and caring person. So as we will be meeting again after the brunch, which will include some of her favorite items, I'll just ask Sarvabhauma Prabhu to speak a little bit, and then we'll continue with the concluding ceremony of the japa retreat, level one. Sarvabhauma Prabhu.
As Maharaj said, in many ways, Krishna was a normal devotee. She actually came to devotional service kind of late in her life. She was about 50. She had some severe health problems, and she almost died a few times. She was living on intravenous. She would work like long shifts at the hospital. She was a surgical nurse in Dallas. And she, at night time, she would hook herself up to these tubes. And a few times they got infected. And she almost died a couple times from the infections. Usually if someone gets about three of those infections, there's a pretty good chance they'll die. But she got five infections. So she was, one day she decided to commit suicide. That was before she was very involved in Krishna consciousness, but she used to sometimes just visit the Dallas temple. And she had been from a very pious devoted family, so she had some impressions of Krishna consciousness always with her, but mostly in her life she became very devoted to her career as a nurse. And in doing that, she gave up getting married and many of the abnormal things that people do. And she was extraordinary in her just service to other people, just in general, before she became a devotee. So, so she almost died a couple of times, and she got kind of depressed, and she was thinking to commit suicide. She had made a decision to commit suicide. So she decided to go to the temple. She knew it wasn't a good thing to do, or a pious thing to do, but she just sort of had enough with the way that her life was going in that sense. And so she went before the deities and was sort of asking permission, in a sense, to leave this life. And she actually got some kind of a vision of the deities speaking to her, in which they said that you didn't create life, so you cannot take life. So she wasn't expecting to get this message, and it was very extraordinary turning point, in a sense that from that point on she felt like her whole life already was, she was in selfless servant, but now she decided to give all her devotion to Krishna. So she started doing service at the temple. She was still working as a nurse, like 10, 12 hour shifts. and but she would come to the temple and do very, very simple services in the restaurant and with the deities. She would cut fruit and do many different services. And then the devotee would say that you should retire and you can leave your body anytime because you may not live, so you should go to Vrindavan. So she kept thinking about it. And then she met Jamal Krishnamurti, and he encouraged her also in that direction. But she wanted to tie up her affairs gradually, and so it wasn't until a couple of years later that she actually moved to Vrindavan. And when she went to Vrindavan, she just decided to leave her body there, although she brought all these bags of intravenous tubes and, you know, feed. But once she got there, she felt that was kind of artificial, so she just wanted to depend on Krishna. So on the day before Jaimashtami, she decided to have the catheter removed at the hospital in Vrindavan. And it was removed, and she sort of thought she would die quite soon. In fact, when she went in, the doctors didn't think she would live very long. So this was, she thought, it accelerated. And although she took it intravenous, she sometimes would drink juice and things like that. But when she took the tubes out, she got this. The next day after Jaimashtami was Prabhupada's appearance day, and there was a feast offered to Prabhupada, and she took some of the mala prasad. She decided she felt a little like appetite, so she actually ate a little mala prasad. She lost maybe 89% of her stomach into various surgeries, so she got a little energy from that. But at first in Vrindavan, she could hardly walk and see the deities, but as the months went on, she was just living in Vrindavan, and she started to get more and more strength. And she, when she got a little more strength, she did some service. Being a nurse, she did service in the dispensary for the Gopur boys. And she did that service. And then she started, one day she wanted to go on the Govardhan Parikram. So she went with some ladies that were going on the parikram by a rickshaw, not walking. But then she just got off. She said, "I'm going to walk." And she got off, and it took her a very, very long time, but she actually made it the whole way around. And then, after a short time, maybe another 6 months, she got so much strength back that she was able to walk very quickly. She would take devotees on parikrams herself, and sometimes she would go and like close to 4 hours, which is very quick. And she was about 60 years old at that time. So she got her rebirth in Vrindavan. And from the point of when she almost committed suicide, she decided to get everything with Krishna. And that's what we're trying to do when we're trying to chant and serve. But it's, we always have some struggles in that regard. It seemed that she just got off the mental platform and was just always in mood of service, whether she was chanting or taking care of people on the playgrounds or helping devotees. She helped many devotees who came up with health issues, and the devotees that were passing away, she helped many of them, including Indudumarish, disciple, Archana Vigraha, Vilashmar's disciple. She helped a little bit at that time. So, anyway, she was planning to leave her body in Vrindavan, but she was just always in the mood of a servant, and the service to her Guru Maharaj, to Valkrishna Maharaj, became kind of a focal point of her service to Krishna. So at one point, he asked her to come out of Vrindavan to England when he was living there. So sometimes in the spiritual life, we're asked to, even we get attached to spiritual things, like living in Vrindavan was a perfect situation for her to the end of her life. But she had, he asked her to come to England, and as he had just recovered from surgery in America and was needing some care from a nurse. So it was very difficult for her, but she shredded that idea, and she spent some time, some years in England. And then she came down with some type of cancer in the throat area and had a surgery in London, and then just decided to go to Dallas to recover, because her deities, Radhakala Chandi, Sri Sri Radhakala Chandi, were so dear to her and all the devotees in Dallas community. So then she went to Dallas to recover, and then it was discovered that the cancer was terminal. So at that point, it was in the summertime, it was quite hot, as you notice. In Texas, it gets pretty hot. Sorry. So, Jamal Krishna Maharaj advised her to she didn't have to worry about going to Dallas to Vrindavan to leave the body, but there were so many nice devotees to take care of her in Dallas. He also thought that her passing in the West, we sometimes hide death, and the fact that we hide it makes it kind of more easy to try to enjoy the material world. So if the Mahal Krishna thought she's an elevated devotee, and if she leaves her body with the support of the adult devotees, even the children, seeing the whole experience of how someone lives their whole life in Krishna consciousness, it'll create a very nice example. And so even her passing became a type of service to her guru. Because the place where we do our service is Sanskrit called Prabhu Datta Desh, the place given by the spiritual master. So even the place of her leaving her body or death, she actually wanted to be in Vrindavan in certain ways, but she accepted that idea of living in Dallas. And as Maharaj said, that one of the qualities of a devotee, of advanced devotees, they create faith in others in the holy name. So just somehow her presence there in leaving her body unified all the devotees. And also during these 24 hour times, different devotees would take shifts chanting from 2 to 4, 4 to 6, 6 to 9, all through the night. And it created a little bit of the atmosphere, a similar atmosphere of the kirtans here. It became a life transforming experience for many of the devotees, and even guests would come. So somehow, because of her mood of service and the fact that her spiritual master wanted to leave there, it just became a very auspicious situation in terms of Krishna consciousness for everyone. And she had always been a very quiet person, but the devotees were coming to cheer her up, so to speak, and they saw that she was actually completely ecstatic, and she was actually uplifting them. And a number of times devotees asked, "How do you feel?" She said, "I've never felt so wonderful, so happy in all my life." So she was actually very confident that she was under Krishna's protection. She felt that she would be with Radha Krishna. And in many ways, she wasn't a big scholar or, such an experienced devotee, having come Krishna conscious later in her life, but she had great faith in Krishna and her spiritual master, the Parampara. And she was not mental. And Jamal Krishna Maharaj, after she passed away, devotees spoke about her, and Jamal Krishna Maharaj said, "I have no doubt that she went to the spiritual world because she had no material desires and she only had spiritual desires." So sometimes we may wonder what our fate is, but we should have at least confidence that if we surrender to Krishna, the Krishna will take us back home, back to Godhead. And I think that not so many people would know about her, and maybe she's maybe not so well known even now, but her spiritual master wanted something written about her just through being sort of part of the literature of the devotees in our movement who are become Krishna conscious. And so on the day that she passed away, he asked her to write a book about her. And I sort of saw her as a very wonderful devotee. But when I actually interviewed many people about her and my own understanding of her very advanced Krishna consciousness became very much enhanced and became purified just trying to write about her, and it was a very fortunate project to be involved with. So, yes. Have you say that much? Thank you. Sundari Ki.